All right, what are we drinking today, Dono?
We are going to steal your sobriety because we are talking Despicable Me and drinking a Film Pub original Despicable Me shots. Absolutely petrifying. Let's get after it.
All right, welcome back to the Film Pub. This is episode 85 of the pub,
and my goodness.
This week we are going to be discussing a 2010 staple, Despicable Me, and we are drinking some Despicable Me minion shots, and another Film Pub original. These are some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried it yet, but you know, minions are yellow. They say banana a lot, so we got to do the 99 banana.
The staple. The foundation. The 99 nana. Oh my gosh, I missed it. I can't wait to get back in the nana's nana world.
I think I had like six extra shooters, I think from our Rise of the Planet of the Apes episode, when I got absolutely hammered and went on a rant about how much I hate San Francisco. So,
man turned straight backwards in the evolution clock.
But this one, it's a pretty simple shot. I'm actually very excited to try it. Sounds very tropical. But 99 banana, which again is just like a liqueur that's 99 proof, so 50% alcohol. And then we're mixing some pineapple juice. I didn't even realize this was a thing, but I got the Dole Light pineapple juice. Because I saw how much sugar is in the regular, which like not a guy that like counts calories, but I was like, holy fucking 50 grams of sugar in one canister.
Yeah, no, I literally think I might need a shot of insulin after this or just get my left foot amputated, because you're right. We are just drinking CNH right now if you didn't go the light version. Before we take the shot too, I want to give a huge shout out to my man Jack Cotel, because outside the podcast, we are actually people, and Jack Cotel is actually thriving because he just got a new job in LA, gonna be part of the whole industry, so goddamn, stick around for some insider sneak peeks, I don't know, but either way, he killed it, so proud. All my fellow Film Pubbers, let's take a shot for the boy.
Thanks, Dono, appreciate it, cheers.
Oh, that's tasty. That is tasty, right? It's kind of
so
Dole Whippy a little bit. It's fire. Yes.
It reminds me, because I think I told you back in the day, a concoction that I made was I used to drink so much of this 99 banana, which I think says not something great about my college self, but I used to mix it with pineapple White Claws or High Noons, and it was the best ever. I think I had you try it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's literally, you force-fed that, but in the best way possible. It was delicious.
And it gets you where you need to go. You'll need to have, like, two, and then you're like, okay, I feel like I just drank a bottle of tequila. But this one, it's very refreshing. I kind of wish there was a little bit of carbonation in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you do a good mix, I'm not doing, like, a full shot of 99, doing like a little bit over a quarter, and then the rest is pineapple juice. Very, very smooth. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, it is delicious for one of the Film Pub originals. It's not, you know, we're not whipping up anything in the kitchen here. It's, you know, pineapple juice and 99 banana, but it's fruity. It's delicious. Like, this is one that I'm looking forward to taking a few shots of. So we should just get after it and talk about all the inspiration too.
All right. Well, we are again discussing Despicable Me, which has become a huge franchise, has now a ride at Universal Studios and a few sequels as well as a spinoff as well. But the original one came out in 2010. It's starring a great all-star cast, very eclectic group. Steve Carell, Miranda Cosgrove from Drake and Josh and iCarly, Russell Brand, and Jason Segel. It was directed by Pierre Coffin and Chris Renaud. Chris Renaud, or Renault, he also directed Secret Life of Pets and The Lorax. So he's very intertwined in that Illumination animation, which is what is specifically like Despicable Me and the rest of those types of movies.
Totally.
It was a $69 million budget, and it got $543 million worldwide. So insane pull at the box office.
Insane.
And 80% Rotten Tomatoes score. Very, very good. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. Dono, hit us with that two-sentence summary.
Yeah, I mean, a whole lot goes on in the jam-packed film, but after a new supervillain steals the Great Pyramid, supervillain Gru hatches a plan to reclaim his glory and steal the moon with the help of his yellow-bellied minions. However, his perspective on life changes when he adopts three orphan girls to initially help him in his grand scheme, but inevitably learns about life outside of villainy. With those three little girls. That sounded awful at the end. Did not like the ending. That was off the cuff, and I thought it would be more of like, oh, he adopts them, three little girls, but it seems like the villainy trickled back in at the end.
Tiptoe by the window. Yeah.
But no, it's wholesome. It's wholesome.
Well, before we get into the favorites, let's take another shot.
Yeah, why not? Let's wet the beak a little bit.
God, speaking of a beat, Gru absolute unit on his face.
If he's turned in a corner, the snout's the first thing you see coming around.
What is it like in the final scene where he has like one of those pop-up books for the unicorn, yeah. but he puts his fucking schnoz in there?
That thing is going to poke an eye out. I'm not even kidding. Like, it needs like a piece of red tape on the end because it is a hazard.
But starting with the favorites, who is your favorite character in this movie?
I mean, it's pretty much a cop out because inevitably they get their own series and their own movie. But I mean, it's Despicable Me synonymous with the Minions. So, I mean, if you're going the whole trilateral union, the, you know, Christianity Minions in the name of the Kevin Stewart and Bob, then I am definitely sticking with that all-star cast. But I just got to go with the Stewart, like the way it rolls off the Minions' tongues. It just is something inside of me that I can't help giggling. How about you, man?
Yeah, no, it's definitely got to be the Minions. I don't know which one specifically. I think one of my favorite lines is like, I think one of them like shoots off a rocket or something. Then Gru goes, "Not cool, Dave." Yeah. So I think it's got to be Dave. But something I was going to say about that is, do you think that this movie would be like, would have been talked about as much without them? Like, say that they're still there, but like they were more minor characters and more like normal looking or looked like Gru or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think that really the big reason why this movie blew up was because of these specific minions and like their role that they played in the movie and like their animation type?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be popular, but I don't think it would be at the same scale that it is today. Like, I would envision it more of like a Megamind situation almost.
Yes!
Where, you know, it's still like focuses on the villain. There's a whole character arc and everything, but I feel like any major animation these days needs almost like the Minions, needs like a Grogu. You need like almost like a side character that you can sell, you know, ancillary revenue, which is fire, but also like having like some Minion cheeks on the gifts, like left and right. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like let's see some Minion cheeks. But I mean, it's just, I think the Minions truly are what make Despicable Me as a franchise. And when you have like a standalone Minions movie too, that in itself is pretty fucking fire. Like, it's a pretty
good... watched it?
Yeah, no.
I haven't seen it.
It's a good movie. It is like a very solid movie. That's, I would say like all the Despicable memes, like memes, are solid. Like, they're enjoyable films. But definitely the meme, like the Minions is what raises the bar. Like, 2016, you're seeing just like literal like presidential candidate memes like being spoken by Dave, a minion. Like, it's crazy like how much it just like infiltrated society and like Facebook as a whole. Like, it makes no 100%. sense.
And there's so many of like those iconic lines that have turned into memes, like the banana and ba-boy.
Ba-boy.
And I don't even know what the other one, or what? That one too?
I just think the crossover is like the wildest part that I've seen too. It's just like... 100%. Boomers and minions, man, they just go hand in hand somehow. Like it spread its web. You can see someone complaining about the border while talking about bananas through a minion. It's crazy.
And I swear to God, I don't think I have gone to the airport once when it's busy, and it doesn't matter where, but there will be at least one person with minion pajama pants on boarding a plane.
It's the new Cookie Monster PJs, man. Like, it's kind of crazy. But sorry, what were you going off there before? No, I went on my minion soapbox.
No, but what I was going to say is, like, whoever came up with the minions is literally swimming in it right now. Like, they probably have made so much revenue. And I wanted to ask you, because I don't think – I did a little bit of research, and I don't think I can name a more influential animated character from the 2010s that are bigger than the Minions. I think maybe – because this one was very universal mm-hmm. for both boys and girls. I think more on the girl side, I think – Elsa and Anna from Frozen.
That's a good one.
That was really, really big, and like Olaf a little bit.
Totally.
But I don't know if I can name, I was looking through all the 2010s animated features, and I don't think I can name like a specific character or like type of character that had that much influence and power like in its era. Or, like, over the past 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think beyond, you know, the sequels of like the first half of the 2000s, all like the classic movies that we grew up with, you're right, I mm-hmm. could only really think of like maybe a Frozen, like that's like at least like the marketability of the Minions, like you're saying. I don't I really don't know if there's anything on that same level. You know, there's just so many like one-off Pixar movies that have like a lot of, you know, lovable characters, but nothing to like the point where you know what a Minion is even if you haven't seen the movie.
Exactly. And you've probably heard banana.
I mean, shit, put it on my gravestone, dude. I love that. Here lies Dono, banana. And everyone would get it. Everyone would get it. You know,
they'd be like, everyone would
this
have a
fucking
nice
guy, dude. This guy. He must have been pretty sweet in his time on this planet Earth.
That actually would be kind of sick. You're like, really somber, like visiting someone at a graveyard, like visiting their stone. All of a sudden, you just pass by someone random's gravestone. It says, Dono McGuire. Banana.
Period. That's it. I don't want anything.
That would give me a nice chuckle.
No in loving memory, just banana. or if I get nuked, just put me in a Dave silhouette. What's it called? I'm blanking on the name. Urn. Yeah, you put me in a Dave Urn.
God.
Yeah, I want to be memorialized as a thick minion walking to the pool.
And then we'll spread out the ashes at the pyramids of Giza. But okay, going back to the favorites, what's your favorite line of the movie?
I mean, it's hard. I feel like there's so much in the lines or the way it's kind of animated and delivered that really adds the punchline. And, you know, there's the classic, like, it's so fluffy, I'm going to die, and all of that, all that great stuff. But I think, like, one of my favorite, like, scenes, lines is kind of going back into Gru's childhood to understand why the moon is so significant to him. And young Gru's watching the man stepping on the moon, the first moon landing, and he's like, Mom, someday I'm going to go to the moon. And Gru's mom is just like, I'm afraid you're too late, son. NASA isn't sending the monkeys anymore.
Just like, absolute savage. Fucking Julie Andrews.
Oh my
The Sound of Music, fucking Maria herself.
With the straight beehive on her head the entire series. But, I mean, just iconic, quintessential Gru mom line, but it's great. How about you?
Well, we know where the schnoz comes from. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree in that category.
Apple gets impaled by the snout on its way down, man. Can't even hit the ground.
Playing Fruit Ninja.
Oh.
Okay. My favorite line, it's like such a small line that I don't think anyone even talks about, but I just think it's hilarious. It's actually from Miss Hattie, the proprietor of the orphanage that makes the girls like sell cookies and sit in the box of shame.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Girl Scouts. Yeah,
yeah. I think she's voiced by Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm, she is.
But in the scene where Gru is trying to adopt the three girls just to like get the shrink ray from Vector's lair. That's a nerdy sentence right there. But he's pretending to be a dentist, and then the minions are typing out his resume like in real time. And so she's reading it off, and it's like, you got the Medal of Honor, you got all this shit. And then she goes, you had your own cooking show and you can hold your breath for 30 seconds. That's not that impressive. And I don't know why I think it's that funny. It's the delivery. I don't know why I was just actually cackling though when she said that. Just that's not that impressive.
Como un burro.
Yeah. Doesn't that mean like you look like a donkey?
Yeah.
I had to look it up because I didn't take Spanish.
Me either. But I learned through films, and now
were you?
Now when I go,
were
to
you
Cancun,
a French guy in high school?
Oh wait, yeah.
I actually am slowly realizing how like pointless French is.
Yeah.
In schools.
Oh yeah.
Like especially being from California, and now I'm moving back to LA. My French isn't going to do jack shit. And living in Texas. Wait. Never mind.
No, seriously. When they sold it freshman year, they're like, oh, you know, this is like this.
It's the language of love.
It's also like the second major player in business, and it's like, oh, but the number one language is English. So you're kind of set there. So here I am going into like an international business meeting. Yeah, sure. And I'm just
bonjour.
Like, bonjour. Je voudrais un crêpe, s'il vous plaît. It's like, whoa. You already got our business, Tano, don't you? Like the second you would have that bonjour.
Oh my god. All right. Man. What's your favorite aspect of the movie?
I mean, I think we've kind of touched upon it, but like my favorite aspect of this movie is it truly is like an animation masterpiece. It's if you wanted to like theoretically open your own Illumination, then this is like the path forward you want to follow. Like you release Despicable Me, it absolutely kills it in the theaters. You have marketable little minions making hell ancillary revenue, and there's a lot of sequels, prequels, all the cools actually live up to the hype pretty well, and you know, like I would watch it. I mean, definitely there's some movies better than the others, but as like a mainstream like worn out cash cow type of series, it's still mm-hmm. pretty enjoyable, still pretty goofy, and all around wholesome fun. How about you?
Yeah, Despicable Me 4 is coming out in just a few months.
Yeah, hopefully I don't have to eat my words.
No, I think it'll probably be good, and honestly, like I think they've already kind of indoctrinated themselves that they know what they're doing. They got it figured out. They take a few years between the movies too, so to make them like be okay. Obviously, if you do too many sequels, there's no place to go but down.
Yeah,
it's like it's what's gonna happen. It's what happened to the Fast and Furious movies. It's what's going to happen to the Mission Impossible movies. And hot take, I don't know if it is, but I think it already has. The most recent movie is not that great.
Oh,
but
oh, my dad's gonna bite you. My dad could beat up your dad.
Wait, what movie is that from?
I don't know. It's just like like something that happens like growing up. You're like, my dad could fuck up your dad.
I feel like that's, oh, damn it. Okay, never mind. But I remember that being in a movie. But, okay, never mind. My favorite aspect, honestly, is I think I've already said it before about other movies. I think Shrek is a good example. And honestly, I think Shrek is a better example because it has more of those like adult themes that we have discussed.
Very true.
This movie is a good family movie. Everyone can be entertained, even as an adult. A little bit less, that's what I'm saying, with Shrek, because Shrek, like, literally Lord Farquaad gets, like, full mast at one point. So, like...
Hey, don't get me started on Donkey and the Dragon.
Yeah. Just pull up the Discord. But this one, I think it can be entertaining for everyone. Although, I bet a lot of parents are absolutely sick of hearing the Minion voice from their kids, of just hearing the kids being like, "Bye-bye, bye-bye," and they're just like, they're like, if I could punch a kid.
No, exactly. Like, it's like, that's how you end up at the front door of a firehouse, if you keep up with that shit.
But anyway, something I wanted to discuss is, so Illumination Entertainment is the production company or the animation company that produced this movie. And this was actually the first of the whole slate of movies like Secret Life of Pets, mm-hmm. The Lorax, The Grinch, Super Mario Bros. Is kind of the most recent. And something that I just think is really funny about this animation company is that the body complexes of all of the characters kind of throughout all of the movies is that they're always like pretty proportional, but then they have like one feature that is so misproportionate. Like, we've already discussed Gru's nose. We got Vector with the giant fucking... a beer belly or
just
something.
Just straight from Aunt Fanny, dude. Like an absolute dump truck.
And like I'm just trying to think of literally every single character has just some weird thing. But I kind of like it. But that's like kind of how they've like separated themselves from some of the other companies. Because every animation company, you can see pretty easily if they just show you like a still mm-hmm. from, even if it was like a new upcoming movie, you could probably be like, okay, that looks like Pixar.
Yeah.
That looks like DreamWorks and that looks like Illumination. But
totally.
I don't know if you had any opinion on Illumination animation at all.
I mean, I don't have any like strong opinions, but I definitely agree that like there is a very distinct animation style, like you're saying, like across the board, it is very not boxed, but like it's just a style. Like it can be either be like very like long and limber or built like a box or some, like you said, like very present facial or bodily feature. But overall, if you're looking at a still image, you could tell that it is Illumination. And I feel like that's half the battle, is trying to make a brand name for yourself, where someone could just look at like a snap of any movie and be like, okay, this is like Illumination, and that's probably the best marketing you can do. I don't know.
Definitely having Pixar getting on the scene in the late 90s and early 2000s, they got a head start in front of everybody. Then DreamWorks comes in with Shrek, Madagascar, all of those. They take over kind of the later half of the early 2000s. And then Illumination, just a tiny company. I feel like that is very hard for a company to come in and try and make a name for themselves. But I think they have, because some of these movies, like, I'm not the biggest fan, and I think it's honestly because a lot of them came out when we were in high school, so it's like, we're not watching animation movies as much. I haven't seen Secret Life of Pets, or I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. But, like, I do enjoy this style of animation, and I think that they've now kind of ingrained themselves in at least maybe the top three, if I'm not forgetting any. But... I don't know.
No, I definitely agree. I 100% agree that they are on the podium for animation companies. Okay, I got a question for
go ahead, dude.
Go ahead. Oh my god.
Okay, let's do a shot.
Yeah. I love that. Let's do it. Nice.
I'm having a bad day.
Stop. I love it. I love the Pharrell Williams though. All right.
Kind of cool that he did the whole soundtrack,
right?
Too.
Right. And They're not
big
they're
name.
Not, big name. They got a lot of big names in this movie.
With the fucking hat. That dude wears the fucking craziest hats ever.
Seriously, like if I could pull off quail feathers the way he could, oh my god, forget it. Forget it. I wouldn't even wouldn't even be doing this. Oh my gosh. I would just be walking down the streets in my big ass velvet hat with a fucking ostrich feather sticking out of my gullet. It'd be crazy. And the Carlton down the street, my god, it would be poetic. But while you're right, pulling you another got? Shot. Kind of just like if you were in this like universe where you know villains are kind of the top dogs. I don't really know their standing in society. Not cool, but they're definitely like infamous. What mm-hmm. would you do to basically Gru had to one up Vector with stealing the pyramid, and what Ooh. Would you just and he stole the moon? You know, technically before Vector got it. But what would you do? To top stealing the moon, which, I mean, it inevitably does grow back to the same size, so it's not a perfect plan, but what would you do on the same level to get notoriety?
Wow, that's a great question. Wow, that's a really hard question, too, because the moon is, like, that's, like, the reason yeah. that he does the moon is because he's like, what the fuck else can you do to top yeah. that?
It's like, say goodbye to the ocean. It's like, fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that would be something. You could like fucking dry the oceans out or yeah. like, I don't know.
Just get a major straw and just start fucking sucking away.
Yeah, because he already tried to steal. Well, he stole the Statue of Liberty, small one from Vegas.
Yeah.
Then the Eiffel Tower.
From Vegas.
Also Vegas. Dude, that's so hard. I don't know. God, I would say, like, steal, like, the entire world's power, but, like the power grid, but then yeah, you're like, how are they gonna hear about it?
Yeah, true.
Nah, you know what I want to steal is, dude, it's, like, 3 seconds in the movie where everyone, when they're guarding all, like, the seven wonders of the world, and there's that one guy in, like, Arkansas with the giant beer can in the back. I'm taking that thing. Is that a thing?
I don't think so, man. But you made it a thing.
I wish.
Oh my
damn
God.
It. Wait. Okay, what are you doing?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was kind of going back and forth. I was like, you're saying like it literally has to be like on the moon type
like,
of level.
Yeah, like, and I didn't want to say like take Mars because no, that's
I
like
mean, yeah, I mean seriously, copy and paste, my God. I like yeah. the water. I like the water. Something I was thinking was more just like along the lines like if I'm Gru and I'm kind of like that super level genius, it's like, oh, like just went to like Taiwan and instead of stealing a shrink ray, just here's the cure to cancer. Throw it in a lake or something. I know this clip is going to come back and haunt me when I get a cancer inevitably, but.
My God, it's like Deadpool. It's like, here's your pound of cocaine hidden right next to the cure for blindness. Yeah,
exactly. But I don't know. You know, audience, think of your worst theft possible and shoot us a DM at the film pub.
Yeah, that beats stealing the moon.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, something that I wanted to ask you about. So, you know the scene when they go to, I don't even know what it's called. It's like the amusement park called like Super Magic Funland yeah, or something yeah, like that. Yeah. That's like on the boardwalk.
Fluffy
and then
unicorn.
They play that. Yes, and then they play the arcade game to like, get the unicorn, but at first the Agnes, the littlest girl, hits the alien, but it doesn't go down, and then he's like, well, it's fucking not going down, so you got to keep trying. But that honestly kind of brought me back to the days of going to like the California State Fair in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
or the Santa Monica Pier. Do you remember ever playing like some of those games that were completely rigged, like the basketball game where if you went behind the hoop,
yeah.
it's an absolute oval.
Yes, yes.
And so I was going to ask, did you ever get bamboozled into like spending a shit ton of money at carnival games just so you could get this really crappy prize?
Oh, dude, yes. I have been bamboozled on getting swindled and actually getting the worst fucking prize in the world, too. So I'll start with the lows and we'll end on the highs. Lows, outside of the basketball game, straight up sham, like you said. It's shooting a basketball into a figure eight. It's not going to go through the hole. And then,
yeah,
don't get me started on a ring toss, dude. You know someone is just lubing that shit up with KY before they open up for the day's events and everything, because it is impossible to throw a ring toss on there. Maybe it is where you're from. But the worst thing to do in the world is the fucking dart game with goldfish, because you'll win every time, and then you have a fish that you end up killing, and then you have a week's worth of childhood trauma. So, yeah, you could either lose or you could win, which is still losing.
I forgot about the goldfish.
Seriously, and you're just walking around, and it's like 105 degrees out with a clear plastic bag. I don't know how it made home, like made it home in the first place.
You're like, come on, sprinkles. Yeah. And you're like, oh fuck.
You feel like,
and you gotta have a funeral down the toilet.
You feel like fishy from Nemo, just shaking that bitch around.
Darla.
Darla. Yeah.
I remember the other one. I remember at an old, one of the like private elementary schools from Sacramento, OLA, they used to always do some carnival day. And one of the games that they had was throwing like baseballs at full salamis. And then if you hit the salami, if you hit the salami, you'd get a full salami. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do in 100 degree weather with a full salami? This has to be in the freezer like yesterday. Oh, you're going to give me fucking E. coli. God. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
When your one corporate sponsored is Cordy Bros down the street, a straight up deli, it's like, fuck it, everyone's getting ribeye for prizes. Yeah. Which is now, but I was like, I would kill for a log of meat. Like, oh my God.
But I will tell you, my worst experience was at the Santa Monica Pier. I was with my aunt, and I went to go play the basketball game. And for some reason, there were some basketballs on the side that were the prize. And there was one that was a Duke Blue Devils basketball that I wanted so bad. And it was a shitty made basketball. I already knew that going in. I was like 10. But I go to play the game, and I'm like, all right. All right, Auntie, line them up. Let's. Yeah. It's like $2 per like two or three balls or something.
Yeah,
I think she spent like $20, which was like a lot back in the day for like my allowance spending.
Yeah, no,
and,
totally.
And she just kept putting it down. I was like, Aunt Loa, one more, and then finally I hit it. We all went crazy. I get the Duke basketball and I'm holding it. I don't bounce it. We get to the parking lot like 2 hours later. I bounce it once and it deflates. I was literally like the kid at the beginning of this movie that drops his ice cream or gets his balloon popped.
Oh my God.
The demoralization that was going on in my 10-year-old brain, I still haven't gotten over it. The Duke's Blue Devil's ball, seeing it just go on the fucking ground.
Wow. I was like, just the, I know it's an audio medium, but my God, the visuals of Kotel, you can just see the pain just seething through the screen, dude. Oh my gosh. I wish I could go to Texas and give you a hug. Just your 10-year-old
the past
self.
Drama.
Yeah. Really explains a lot.
Take a shot for that.
Amen.
So fuck the Santa Monica Pier. Don't play the games there. Okay, so another topic that I had and kind of question for you is I was trying to think about what animated character, this is a very niche question, but yeah. Any animated characters like pad or like place of living that I would want to live in. I think mine out of any movies I've seen is Vector's freaking house.
Oh yeah, that's, I mean,
that place is so sick. He's literally got a shark swimming under his living room couch while he's just like watching TV, and then he's got the pyramid chilling in the back just painted blue as the sky. I don't know what he's doing on a day that's overcast, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. And then he's got weapons out the wazoo coming out the top. I don't know, that thing is a fortress, and
I would want to live there out of anyone that I've seen.
Dude, I don't know why I was just thinking about this, but I feel like if Vector was like a person in your real life, I feel like the second you walk in and be like, hey man, do you know Bitcoin hit 60K last week? Like, let me tell you about NVIDIA, brother. Like, let me fucking spin you a web. He's crypto.
That's so true. He's like a Gary V wannabe.
Yeah, he's like, Andrew Tate doesn't have shit on my philosophy.
Oh my god, that is actually so true.
No, I don't know, but not trying. No,
out of the off the top of your head, what character would you want to have their crib?
Oh fuck, that is so hard. I mean, so it has to be animated, right? Or just like movies in general?
No, I would say animated.
Okay, no, that's fair. Fuck!
Maybe the Incredibles pad in Incredibles 2.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know why I can only think of the Ratatouille shitty apartment overlooking Paris.
Yeah, wait, what? I was like, the worst
fucking apartment, worse than what I'm living in right now somehow. But what a killer view. Fuck! Fuck.
Sully and Mike got it kind of a good they kind two of have bedroom. A
shitty two bed. I mean, if we're trying to go like large and in charge, I'm gonna go. Okay, I got it. Edna Mode's place in the Incredibles.
Yes,
you got me.
There it is.
You got the gears turning. Incredibles, point A to point C. We got it.
There it is. Yeah, dude, her place is really really cool. You don't get to see too much of it.
Just the voice recognition. Sorry, I got really caught up in the fantasy for a second.
It could happen. You could move to, I don't even, Metropolis or whatever the hell. No, Monstropolis is the monster's thing. I'm just going to shut the fuck up. My last question for you is, what are your thoughts on the sequels? I know we've kind of talked about them. First and foremost, have you seen all of them? I've only seen Despicable Me 1 and 2. I haven't seen 3, Minions, or...
The Rise of Gru.
Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Yeah. The ones that I've seen, Minions, solid. Rise of Gru, very solid. First one, I mean... The best one. First one's best one, mm-hmm. obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Is the second one the one with where he finds a wife? I'm trying to...
Yeah, it's the spy who's also played by Kristen Wiig, the ginger girl. Yep. And at the very end, they get married. Yeah.
Okay, second one's very solid. I honestly cannot remember anything from the third one off the top of my head. I know I've seen it, but all of the minion-ness and all the Despicable Me's, I'm not as invested in this whole series as like a Star Wars where I could, you know, give you a play-by-play. But I remember it being good. Could be totally out of bounds. But no, out of all the sequels and all of the Despicable Me universe, it's pretty solid.
And do the Minion movies try to stay like true to the Despicable Me's, or are they kind of their own thing?
Well, I mean, just don't ask what the Minions were doing from 1938 to 1945. The biggest, baddest boss.
Jesus. I gotta watch this movie now.
The Rise of the Third Reich? No. No, but
then they got a new leader.
No, it's pretty solid, though. I mean, the first one I know kind of really focuses more around... like the minions and kind of finding their way. At the end, they find Gru. And then I know like the Rise of Gru is more like when he's a kid. And that one's actually pretty funny based in the 70s. But I mean, if you could like imagine what a Minions movie would be about, it pretty much is what it would be.
Are they from like a minion planet?
I think it's kind of like the Oompa Loompa logic where they're from like a minion place. They find like the
in on Earth, okay,
somewhere. I'm kind of like crossing some wires here, but I know that their goal in life is to serve the biggest, baddest boss in the world.
Gotcha. Okay, like all right, boy. Well,
yeah,
that was very educational. Thank you for that.
I'm glad I could really enhance your minion knowledge.
I can't speak on them really because I really haven't seen most of them. Are you going to go see Despicable Me 4? Are you going to see them in theaters?
I was like, I will give it a watch when it comes out, heavily on Peacock. But right now, I think I might just let it marinate with the Minions. And in the meantime, mm-hmm. I'll start studying up on my Minionese for Duolingo. And then I'll be ready to rock God. And roll.
Oh, that's one of my pup facts.
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it.
All right. Speaking of which, okay, do you have any other questions for me, or you want to move on to pup facts?
I mean, fuck. That is like one of the best segues we could ever hope for. So I'll leave it at that. Let's get into it. Pup facts. Oh, fuck. That was terrible. That was my Minion wise. Okay, final discussion. What do you think a Minion would call pup facts?
Well, the fact that they say a toy is a boy, I'm gonna sound like such an idiot. Pub fact. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
I was like, no, I gotta hear it. I'm over here making an ass of myself every other week, so you gotta give me some ammo for when you're talking to your big bosses in LA.
I have no idea.
Kilimanjaro. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you're better off the cuff. Yes, thank you. Kilimanjaro. Kill him with kindness. All right. Okay, starting off, the one that I was just mentioning is that the directors of the movie that I mentioned earlier, they created the Minion language, Minionese, and it's actually a mix of Spanish, French, and Russian. I don't know how they do that, but all power to them. I wonder if they have like a little like glossary or appendix of Minionese, because I know some people, like I think George Lucas and other, like Frank Herbert, who created Dune, they have this whole fucking glossary of all the words that they made up. Yeah. I wonder if they have a Minionese guide.
I mean, I honestly, when doing research, I looked up like some examples of translation, and I was like, I don't know how scientific they got. They're like, I hate you. It's like, Tata Bala too. Or it's like, I don't know about this one. This one's like Open Sesame. It's like, Pule tiki masala. I'm sorry, Budu. I was like, okay, I've heard that one. And it's like, I am hungry, me want banana. I was like, you really needed a glossary for that, but all right, you do your thing. But no, it's pretty expansive. And I'm looking forward to from when my kid can study Minionese just like Star Trek and, you know, all that.
Oh, yeah, Trekkie. I forgot about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Klingon.
Klingon, that's it, yeah.
But okay, I also just realized that we've only taken like 4 shots. I think we should do 2 before we go on to the next pub fact.
I agree. Oh my God, 2, fuck. Okay, let's do it.
It just registered with you how many the 2 is.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I got the brain power of Stuart right now, fuck. Tata Bala too. That means I hate you and Minion.
Oh, thanks. Fucking.
Beedoo. Hey, kanpai. Kanpai. Kanpai.
What does that mean? Cheers?
Cheers, yeah.
Okay. Oh, woo! Shit. All right. And speaking of languages, what is Gru's accent supposed to be that Steve Carell does? Is it Russian? He kind of sounds like a member of the KGB.
I mean, I would say more Eastern European, but I...
Light bulb.
Yeah, I would say Eastern European. Like, his demeanor, like, I don't know why. That just screams Russian or some, like, Soviet state that you don't even think of. Like, he's probably from Yugoslavia. Like, fuck.
How'd he get his fucking... How'd he get out to America? Isn't it supposed to be America? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's more likely than not America. But also, like, his mom's, like, I don't know if it's villainish, like, too. And, like, man's building straight rockets. So definitely could get, like, an H-1B visa. I think he would qualify for it.
Oh my God. Okay, wait, what else you got?
Yeah, definitely. So kind of funny, but the two directors, Pierre Coffin and Chris Renau, actually did the voices. One's English, one's French, so that's why the Minions sound a little bit English and French at the same time and have some different dialects, but it's mm-hmm. all just a combination of languages, as the actual Minionese is too. So kind of just an appendix to that.
Hell yeah.
Something that I thought was funny that I noticed, and I think you can probably speak more on it, being the finance bro that you are.
Oh, you stole my fact, you son of a bitch.
I kind of thought I would steal it because I was like, once you saw this fact, you were like, oh, you're like, salivating more than Pavlov's dog.
God, I'm just sucking off QuickBooks right now.
But the bank that Gru goes to is the Bank of Evil, and it says right under Bank of Evil, it says formerly Lehman Brothers, which was a bank that collapsed in the 2008 housing crisis.
Yep.
And Donna, I honestly didn't do too much research because that shit kind of goes over my head. But what happened with Lehman Brothers? What's the 2-sentence summary? Where that was definitely a dig at them.
Yeah, no, so. Obviously. Well, Lehman Brothers was one of the world's largest investment banking firms in the world at the time, like 2006 through, I mean, even beyond that. But where it really is its notoriety is it's kind of the face of the housing crisis in 2008. And just through, you know, a myriad of mismanagement and other illegal activities led to basically $1 billion-plus collapse, like multi-billion-dollar-plus collapse. Mm. And in 2008, it really was one of the first dominoes to fall in the whole, you know, banking crisis of giving everyone and their mother a loan in tandem with all the interest rates. I mean, watch The Big Short if you really want to get, like, a very in-depth look at it. But, Lehman Brothers is definitely the face of the line when you're thinking of the 2008 housing crisis.
I haven't seen The Big Short in a while. Are any of the main characters working for Lehman Brothers? Or do they just talk about it? Because I can't remember. I know they mention it, but...
I'm sure they mention it. I can't, like I said, I can't really speak on it at the top of my head. I don't think any of the main characters are.
I didn't think so either.
Because one's like a, you know, kind of like boutique investment firm with like Christian Bale. Then you have like the two dudes with Michael Scott. So, I mean, you have Steve Carell in there. And then
Gosling
too, but I mean, that's more, you know, kind of investment banking, and they talk about some of the race that they would give, but I'll get off my soapbox, but overall the Lehman Brothers are bad boys. So it's a nice jab, especially coming out in 2010. It was fresh in the face of people recovering from a recession that happened 2 years ago.
I didn't really put that together that it only came out like 2 years after that. So that was definitely a huge dig at the time.
Oh, yeah. And collectively, it was like the Enron at the time where it's like, fuck these people.
Yeah. And that goes back to my favorite aspect is that it's entertaining for the whole crew. I bet the fucking working class dads who had to take their kids to see the Minions for the third time maybe notice the formerly Lehman Brothers and they're like, yeah, fuck you.
Seriously. Oh my god.
Kids are like, wait, you're so excited about Gru fucking getting the shrink ray? I only have one more.
Cool. Finish.
Apparently, the original title for this movie was Evil Me, which it's not like that different than what Despicable Me is, though. But I think Despicable Me just has more of a ring to it.
Yeah.
And I think Evil Me could get like misconstrued to being like a reference to another movie, like Austin Powers or something with Dr. Evil or something. I don't know. I think the word despicable kind of made it separate itself from other movies that are similar to having the anti-hero.
Yeah.
And also I feel like despicable is just probably a word that a lot of little kids didn't or couldn't say before that movie came out. And then after it, they're like, despicable.
No, I mean, it definitely is like there's a lot of hard consonants and despicable. Like, it definitely just rolls off the tongue a lot better than, you know, Evil Me. So I'm glad that they pulled out the thesaurus and decided to do a name change at the end, because, I mean, I don't know if, yeah, Evil Me would have as much power, but who knows? Maybe if they stuck with it 10 years down the line, we also would be saying Evil Me, and it's like 30 sequels are sick. But who am I to judge? I like Despicable personally.
I agree. Do you have any more Puff Facts?
That is all she wrote. Everything else is pretty much just, the only other one I had is the final story, the sleepy kittens. They're like, you can actually buy that apparently with the board where you can stick your fingers in, and it's kind of like a puppet book.
Is it on Amazon? I'm looking right now.
Let's see. Yeah, I was like, it may not be anymore, but at the time, you could buy it. And like I was saying, the marketability, even from a side story,
yeah,
it's
God
insane.
Damn.
It's insane.
Well, now because I've actually never been on that Despicable Me ride at Universal, but now moving to L.A., when I go to Universal for the first time, I'm going to check out that gift shop and see what they're selling in there. Not that I'm going to buy anything, but I just want to see what the marketability is. And
boy, I know you're going to come with like an 8-foot Dave walking through the door. Like an actual beanbag of a minion that's going to come through the threshold of your house.
We all know my next Halloween costume. All right, well, let's move on to the ratings, Dono. Before we judge this drink, why don't we take one last shot?
Lucky number 7, let's do it.
Thank you for keeping track. I honestly didn't know how many we took. I knew it wasn't too many, but seven's decent.
I would say 7 shots is a healthy amount.
well but I no, but they're yeah. not like 7 full shots, because honestly I've only gone through almost 2 shooters.
No, the juice helps a lot. I agree. I'm just being a little catty bee over here, but
yeah, the juice is loose.
Mm-hmm. But while you're pouring it, let's talk drinks. What do you give the drink out of 10?
You know what? I'm gonna take one last. I'm sorry. I wasn't really paying attention when I took that last one.
I mean, that speaks in itself. It's like you're so focused on the nanner down, Zamboni now.
It's on a blanket.
Oh fuck! OxyClean now.
Dude.
Oh. I mean, honestly, like in 85 episodes, one of our first big spills. That's pretty impressive.
There it is.
Yikes. Oh my god, the 99 nanner, that is going to dry amazing. Yeah, nothing like a banana smell to really welcome a new place when you move in.
I smell like I'm going to the Four Seasons Maui. I'm just getting ready for the fucking pineapple pina colada that I'm getting served.
Ooh.
But fuck, despite that mishap, I'm going to rate it pretty high. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can take too many, because even with the light pineapple juice, it's still pretty fucking strong.
It is.
Like, it's just really, really, really sweet. But I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Dude, yes. I honestly was going to – I was thinking 9 out of 10 too. Like, this – I'm going to have to invest in another like 5th of 99 just to make these when we have guests in the house. Like, this is such a like for the people type of shot. Like, love whatever, hate whatever. You can take a 99 Nana pineapple mix shot and you're going to enjoy
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
And you better and enjoy
gonna,
it.
And you're going to get hammered because yeah. It's 99% or not, sorry, 99 proof. But if it was 99%, we'd be literally speaking Minionese right now.
Just creating the world that I want my kids to live in.
Oh my god, and then what are you gonna rate the movie?
I am gonna give the original Despicable Me, fuck it, we'll throw the whole franchise in there. I'm gonna give it an 8.5 out of 10. Very, very solid movie. And you know, shout out Mari, she was Vector for Halloween a couple years ago, so you know, it's very rewatchable. Whenever you're just doinking around and you want to throw on an easy watch, Despicable Me is always going to come through. How about you?
I think I'm going to give it a solid 7.5. I really like this first movie. Can't really attest to the sequels. It's not like I'm not interested. It's just something I never really got to. But go see Despicable Me 4 in theaters this summer. It's definitely going to be a hit with all the families and kids. I think that's about it. But we will be back next time with episode 86 of the pub. We'll probably switch the genre way up, and that's what we like to do here. But make sure you give us a follow on Instagram @thefilmpub, and we will see you next time.
Film Pub, always open. Stop on by and Godspeed.